Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, everyone. Listening to Abe and all this food stuff. Did you guys have a bunch of hot dogs over over the last few days? Hopefully, at least you got to honor our flag, our country. We are proud to be in this country, right? God has blessed us. And I don't know if you watched some of the stuff on TV, but there was a lot of God bless America. And I couldn't ask for a better prayer, a better statement, a better declaration than that, that God blesses America. And He has. We are in a good place right now. As sometimes as terrible as it looks out there, it's not as terrible as it as you see it. God is in charge. God is on the move. This is His nation. And as long as we keep believing in that, that He is going to take care of us as a nation and each one of us as a person. So if you would please stand with me and we can pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, that You do oversee everything that happens in this world, not just this nation, Lord. And that, Lord, Your hand is upon America. Your hand is upon our cities. Your hand is upon Sarita, Tucson, Nogales, Green Valley, so many different places, Lord, that one of us may touch one of those areas, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You have trusted us, Lord, to speak for You, to be a reflection of who You are, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. And we invite Your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. Come, have Your way with this church body, Lord, with each one of us. Lord, I know that You meet us just where we are. And wherever we are, Lord, You're not going to leave us there. You're going to take us to where You want us to be. So, Lord, as we go into worship this day, Lord, may You receive the praise and the worship, Lord, not just in the sound, Lord, but that comes from the heart, that You would receive it from us, Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Amen.
We praise You and we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do it.
Can I just share how prayer changes things? Prayer makes all the difference. If we just lay aside everything that we see and we take it to Him in prayer, prayer changes everything. Like with the Amalekites, when they were warring and Moses has his arms up in prayer, and when he starts to tire and his arms start to fall, Aaron and I think it's Caleb, they were holding up his arms in prayer. So the three of them, they were winning the battle when they took it to God in prayer. And I just learned, I was listening to a lot of history this week, which I was never interested in before, but even this country, Washington, they had fasting and praying. When they were getting their 8,000 troops across the river, there was this fog that came in that they couldn't explain. They had fasting and praying for our country. They took it to God in prayer. And they went across the river under this fog, back and forth, 8,000 soldiers. And in the British, they said they were like 400 ships, the greatest ever out there in the harbor. Out 400 ships, and they said in their journals, the hand of God is against us. Because Washington and all of them took it to God in prayer. And the 13 colonies were like 13 different denominations, but they were all rooted in God. So take it to God in prayer. He fights our battles.
God loves everything in the world. And he made everything.
He made the plants and the leaves.
And all the tiny kitties.
And all the tiny kitties.
Praise him all the time.
Praise him all the time.
That's Ben's notes.
It's becoming more and more and more important in our lives to learn how to really fight our battles, right? See, as things around us seem like they're looking more dim, right? It's not something that we have to be scared of. It's just like, this song, I just love. Like, I'm a very visual person, so like when I think of this song, I literally think of being totally surrounded. On every side, no idea where to go, what to do, how to move, or what the next step is. But it's an amazing thing how when we're surrounded, we really are surrounded by God. There's never a moment that puts a space between where you're like, I can't get to you. See, the door is open. He's waiting for us to press in, right? And he knows every single way to defeat the enemy. There's not a single thing that comes up, even in the world. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not a huge fan of watching the news anymore because I feel like it's just so like muddled, right? But that's the thing, right? Is people can watch the news and it's almost like this fear tries to creep in of like, okay, God, you don't know what you're doing. But that's the thing, is God always knows what he's doing. There's not a single thing that's on that news report that he didn't know was gonna be coming already before it even happened. But see, the church becomes effective and becomes different when we realize that our battle is not of this world. See, if we just storm the kingdom, we begin to see that all of those things become apparent in our life and here with us too. See, it's an amazing thing when we begin to understand the power that we have in him. See, he tells us that we don't need to fear anything but him. And it's because the things he can do are so amazing and so great that there's nothing that he can't overcome, right? So why do we need to fear it, right? Yes. But I guess, yeah, the fear for him is also the feeling of, I don't want to miss out on what that is, right? I don't want to be walking in a different way so that I don't see what it is that you have. I don't want to be off somewhere else doing something else where I don't see what it is that you're trying to build me up in, that you're trying to put me in. See, God gave us a choice. He did give us a choice. And we have the choice to step in or to not get in at all, right? And our lives begin to reflect exactly what it is that we're doing. See, there's a reason that the world will look at the church as a whole and say, nope, I don't like that. I don't want that, right? But then you see the ones that are different. See, God's creating a separation, and he says, it's time.
Woo.
It is time. It's time for you to be the salt and the light. It's time for you to be set apart. It's time for you to look different. It's time for you to start understanding who you are and allowing for him to shine through. See, it is time, church. If you see anything that's going on right now, it shouldn't be a fear. If anything, it should be that moment. It's one of the things that I love about coaching sports, right? You can totally be the underdog. You can be the one coming in that everybody thinks you're gonna be. But those kids will so often have this courage and this built up moment where they're like, I'm gonna prove you wrong. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go after it. I'm gonna push. I'm gonna show you what I got. And see, the church, it's time for us to show who he is. Not just a routine of here's church and here's these rules and these things and these whatever, because that's what people see a lot of times. But that's the thing, is they're not seeing the full picture. But what's so amazing is that we begin to change. I think you guys can sit. I think I'm just gonna go straight in. So yeah. So this is actually just going into my sermon, because my sermon is, what are you reflecting? See, we're meant to reflect the image of God, right? But I really enjoyed, God really started to take me. I think some of you guys probably heard, I don't know if it was last Sunday, but one of the Sundays, I was telling you guys about how he's really been like taking me deep into this like ongoing, this is our, who we are, our design, our DNA, like who he's created us to be, right? And there was a certain thing, chord that hit with me this week that I really enjoyed. It's actually something I saw last week, but then I was like, oh, I God showed me some new stuff. But anyways, I was reading the book of Elijah. It always sounds like an SH, but it's the J, okay? Elijah. And I was really enjoying that I was reading about, okay, he's telling King Ahab, right, that, okay, there's going to be a drought. And until I say, there won't be rain, right? But, okay, so the first thing that hit me in this is Elijah knew that when he said what he said, it probably was going to put a target on his back, right? Oh, until you say, huh? Right? And so I'm sure in that moment, he's like, all right, I know this is trouble, but I'm going to say it because it's what God's telling him to say, right?
Yeah, yes, Lord.
So this is all kind of a, if you read it, it's in 1 Kings, I believe chapter 17, but I'm going to kind of talk you go through it, because if we read it, it's going to lengthen, right? But basically he tells King Ahab this, and then God tells him, go, right? And he tells him to go to by the water side, right? And he goes. Now, let's think about this, right? Because I really like to read these stories, and these are the parts that kind of hit with me, because you can read these stories and you can just read them, right? Or you can read these stories and you can be like, I'm gonna put myself in their shoes. See, Elijah just went through the first step of, all right, I'm putting a target on my back. Okay, God, now you're telling me to run and hide, right? And he has nothing, right? Doesn't have food, right? But God creates a way, right? In the morning and in the evening, God sends a raven with food for him so that he can continue to sustain himself. He's got water from the waterside that he's by, right? Okay? So he's here. Now, let's just think about this. How happy would we be being stuck probably in the middle of nowhere because we're hiding, right? With no actual idea of what the plan is, because I'm pretty sure that's what it was, right? Just a waiting game. Okay, like, all right, like, I don't know how I'm gonna feed myself, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I'm here because that's what God said to do, right? And he doesn't know the lengths, how long, how everything's gonna happen even. Will the birds keep bringing the food? Will they? But see, there's a choice within all of this to continue doing what God said, right? So Elijah, he stays there until God says, okay, now go. And he tells him to find the widow, right? Or the lady. And she, now, okay, every time I read this, I hope that you guys are getting the impact of this, because this is what I was really enjoying about it. Because now he goes over here and it's a whole nother level. It's again, another level of faith, right? Okay, you brought me to this lady. I'm talking to this lady, and now this lady's telling me I don't got what she need, right? That's basically what's happening, because she says, you know, I don't have enough for you. I'm literally making what I have left so my son and I can eat it and go die, right? Which for him, I'd be like, oh gosh, like she doesn't even, you sent me here, right? And she didn't even have that. But still, a level of faith to say, all right, go cook it, go make it, because God says it's not going to run out until the rains come, right? So I bring these up because, see, this is kind of that view of that surrounded, right? He knows that the way he's moving in and the things he's doing don't seem logical, don't seem to make sense, and don't seem to have an actual laid out plan for how they're going to go. But he knows the most important thing is that he do what God said. That if you said it, God, I believe it and I'm doing it. I'm going to step in. I'm going to believe. I'm going to tell him and I'm going to put the target on my back. I'm going to run and know that you'll sustain me. I am going to tell her to make the food, not knowing where it's coming from, but that you will provide it. See, you may think that things happen in your life that are completely new, completely different. Who's going to know how to get out of it? Who's going to know what to do? Who's going to know what move I should make? But see, God has shown us in a living word that his words are true. His promises are true. And that no matter what we come up against, he's got it already. See, but it becomes a time that we have to realize, whew, we got to realize that it's time to step in. Okay, you told me to do it, I'm going to do it. You told me to move, I'm moving. You're telling me to wait, I'm waiting. And I'm not going to let anything, my thought process, what I see physically, any of it, I'm not going to let a single one of it turn me in a different direction than the one you've given me. See, it's important for us. It really is. The more we learn to dive in, the more we go after him, the more we learn about who he is. The more things begin to well up in our life, the more things become apparent, the more things begin to transform, the more that circumstances begin not to look as bad, even though there's not a solution. See, that's the thing, is the church has really got to learn that there's no more of this side to side maybe situation, but that there's a 100%, this is what God said, and I don't care how it looks, I'm going to do it. I don't care if if it looks like it's the wrong way to do it. I don't care if it looks like there's no way that wall is coming down with music. I don't care if it looks like the funds are gonna run out months before we can get something finished. If he gives you a way, stick to it, because it's the only way that you'll make it through the way he's trying to send you. See, I always love using Sarah and Abraham, because even though the promise never went away, it got way prolonged, right? See, God's ready to give us things. And sometimes the waiting is a good thing. Sometimes the learning to pray and praise and be thankful in the moments is a building up of the things that God is doing in your life. See, he tells us that he's gonna do it piece by piece, right? That's how he builds us up. I think a lot of times that people, when they think precept upon precept, line upon line, they're thinking like one right after the other, right? But see, things in your life happen that work together. And those things working together can create things a lot of times. I know I've shared with you guys a lot of times before, but when Oscar and I, we were really trying to like figure out, okay, our marriage is craziness. And I knew, because of growing up in the church, I was like, God, I know that you have the ability to work this out, but I have no idea how, right? Like, honestly, when you're going through it, it kind of looks impossible, right? But see, the reason I'm bringing this up is because, see, when you go through things, it really does teach you something, right? I have never had an issue with unforgiveness, but I think it's because I really didn't have something big to forgive somebody for. Do you know what I mean? Like, I guess there was never anything that I really held on to and was like, oh, this, I cannot let it go. You know what I mean? Like, but I didn't even realize that I was holding on to something. And we can say sometimes like, hey, we've done this, right? But our actions also have to follow that, right? So when Oscar and I were really going through some of our stuff, like I was really like, God, you go get him. You know what I mean? Because it was like this feeling of like, I haven't done anything wrong. Like, you got to speak to him. You got to talk to him about it, right? But then God really, in the waiting, in the middle of everything, God really started to work on me. It was on me that he started to say, but you've not forgiven. See, we can say we forgive somebody, but then when it comes down to it, if we keep saying, oh, but that thing you did, oh, but you know, you remember that time. Oh, you know, I don't know if I can trust that because of what happened then. See, as God really started to talk to me and work through me, I started to begin to realize that there's a difference between saying that we know something, or, okay, I forgave, and actually realizing that forgiveness is just like what God tells us in the Word. It's thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. That means not bringing it up every 2 seconds, not holding on to it, not placing it back in there in the moment that you feel like it would be great to throw it in, but realizing that in the sea of forgetfulness, as far from the east as it is from the west, never to be remembered, right? That's what God does for us. See, so when we say we forgive, we are a reflection of who he is. And that's how we should be forgiving too. See, but going through those moments, is what taught me that, even for future things. Even when I'd have somebody yelling and screaming at me, even when I had somebody coming after me or saying something or whatever, I began to see that just from that one tribulation, right? That one time of God dealing with me, it was so much easier to look at it and just go, it's all right. It was so much easier to let it roll off, right? Because I know that I love, right? Because God told us to love. And I know that we all do things sometimes, right? See, that's the thing. Things that happen in our life, they teach us things. They really do. It's the reason why he tells us that all things work together for good to those who love Christ, because they know that it is working something in your life that is building you up for where you're going, for where he's taking you. Because see, I didn't plan. There was supposed to be something in between and I messed everybody up. But it's okay. There's Ecclesiastes. Seven, eight says, okay, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense, but the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it, right? See, just like I was telling you guys with like even the forgiveness, right? Even God dealing with me in one area created so much more. He talked to me, and in talking to me, he created so much more than just forgiveness. It was patience. It was love through moments. It was so much other things, right? And think about it. Regularly in marriages that fall apart, sometimes those are a lot of what cause it to never be fixed, right? Is the holding on, the anger, the frustration, all of these things, right? And God did a lot of working through those situations. But the point is that wisdom first is always important in everything that we come up to. See, we can all make a second quick choice based off of our feelings, right? But God actually talks to us about how wisdom is important. And see, wisdom, he's ready to give. Like, it's ready for you, right? That's what happens as we're spending the time, right? See, as we read and as we go over things, that's why things suddenly come alive to us. They suddenly pop out because the Holy Spirit reveals things to us that he's wanting to give us, that he's wanting to speak to us about. And it slowly begins to change, right? Where maybe we struggled with anger before, now we've noticed that we have more patience. Where maybe we felt like forgiveness was an issue, now it's gone, right? See, that's the thing. We get so caught up thinking that everything has to be fixed this moment. Oh, I don't like this. I know it shouldn't be there. So just do it now, right? And sometimes the waiting is what's sculpting, right? It's what's taking care of the moment. It's God's opportunity to speak to us on something because we're diving in, right? Because we're asking him. hey, what do I do with this? Hey, where do I go? And even in the moments where we don't know what to pray for, it's why spending time and just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak for us can be so important, is because He knows it all, see? And He knows what's even coming because He knows the next thing He's got for you, right? It's like, we went to Bisbee this weekend, I saw this shirt that says level 51 unlocked, right? And I'm pretty sure it was talking about his birthday. But it's kind of like unlocking levels, right? God will give us something because He knows that's what we need in order to grow. Well, here, this is what I have for you. As we begin to take it in, we begin to walk in it, we begin to allow it to change in our life, it's like, okay, level unlocked. Now let's, here's the next thing I got for you, right? See, nobody ever said that because you got saved, life is just going to be simple and easy. Like everything's good from here. The word says that we have peace that passes understanding, so we're all good from now on out, right? See, hello, sorry, I accidentally turned off my mic. But it's okay that there's going to be times that it seems like, oh gosh, like I don't know what's happening. But it is a choice to dive in, right? It's a choice to say, I'm going to seek wisdom first over everything else. I'm not just going to let it drive me into madness or take me into a weird place. I am going to allow for you to tell me what to do. I'm going to obtain wisdom, which is way more important, so that I can move forward. See, that's a choice. That right there is the choice that we have with God, right? Am I just going to freak out and go wild? Or am I going to choose to go and dive in with God and let Him show me what to do, right? It seems simple, right? Speaking about it seems so simple. And it is simple. That's the thing. It really is. But see, it's our emotions that complicate all of that, right? It's why it's so important for us to be building that relationship with God, so that we're spirit, soul, and body, instead of the body being the thing to run it all, right? The more you allow your body to tell you the directions that you're going to go and when you're going to take them, the more that's going to be your first choice. But the more that you seek God first in all things, the more you press in, the more you say, God, I don't care what's happening with everything else. I only want to know what you're doing. The more you do it, the more it becomes first nature for you. That's where you begin to see a change that's happening within, because now you are seeking Him first. You're seeking wisdom first. I'm going after you for what you have, so that I know what the best move is to move forward. And the thing about it is that makes it hard too, and with emotions being the thing that tries to run you, is that you want a solution now, right? So sometimes the waiting is torture. But the waiting is so important. So much happens in the waiting. As you're going after Him, you'll begin to see so many things in your life just change. And sometimes the cool thing about it is that sometimes it's not even that you felt like you put all this crazy work in. It's that you were going after God, and as you look back, you've just noticed He's changed things in my life. He's taught me things. He's taking me in a different way than I probably would have gone in before. It's one of the things that I absolutely love about looking at Oscar and I's relationship, our testimony in our marriage, is that the man that I met is so much greater because of who God has made him today. It's like I've seen this this thing change and happen, where there's even times we laugh about it because somebody can scream in his face. And when we first met, it was one of the things that drove me crazy is he just was ready to fight everybody. Like, if they wanted to say something to him that was going to get him going, it didn't even take 2 seconds for him to be up and be ready to throw hands, right? He was like, bring it on, right? But I've watched as like a parent or somebody, in because he's coaching, can like literally release everything on him. And I've watched him be like, okay, I understand what you're saying. He stays really calm, he talks to them, and he walks away. And I'm like the one that's like, you just let them talk to you that way? And he's like, it's okay. Like, it's all right, right? See, that's God in him. Because it's a complete transformation from what was to what is, right? And it's not anything that he did by himself. It's through God showing him things that brought him to a new point, right? I have another friend that I went to school with her. And she helped me a lot in high school, because in high school, I think some of you guys know my testimony about like when I played basketball. But when they put me on the varsity team in my freshman year, I was with a bunch of kids that were much older than me and definitely had this feeling of like, you don't belong here. Like, we've been working years to get here and you're just here. You know what I mean? Like, so they definitely kind of treated me like, we're not talking to you. We're going, you know, you just go over there, right? Not to mention that I was much younger than some of them, because they made up a majority of seniors and a couple of juniors. So I was really like the left out kid, right? And this girl, she really kind of took me in. I very specifically remember getting on the bus, my first away game with them, and being terrified, because I was like, where am I gonna sit? What am I gonna do, right? Being terrified, getting on that bus and like looking around, like, where am I going? And all of these kids had their legs like put out on the seat, so it's not like I could sit there. And as I got towards the back, there's kind of like this fear that builds up, like, oh my gosh, like nobody's gonna let me sit with them. Like, what do I do, right? And as I came up, she was like, hey, Rebecca, come sit with me, right? And she like, I sat with her. She let me listen to her music on the ride, like all this stuff, right? She just kind of took me in. But I got to know her because I literally played with her from like my freshman year for her like junior and senior year. And we did like summer, season, all of that, or winter and everything. So even on the times off, like we were all together as a team, right? Well, I got to know her and I did kind of get to learn that she was a bit of a troublemaker, right? Like, she was kind of like always tending to get in trouble. She was feisty, you know what I mean? Like, she was kind of like the one that's like, oh, you want to tell me what to do? Yeah, good luck, right? And I really got to learn that about her, but I loved her. She was like super sweet, right? Well, oddly enough, come later, like she graduated, hadn't seen her in years. I met Oscar and we had been dating for a while. He took me to his work where he was working and she was working with him. I had heard him mention her name a million times, but didn't think that it was the same one that I knew. And she like walks, Rebecca, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, like, hey, how's it going? Like for a few years there, right? Because she was working with Oscar. Oscar had been there for quite a while. So the truth is she really like, we kind of got to know where she was, and she was really going through some struggle in her life. Like, I really felt for her because she had a baby. She was on her own. She was really like, you know, she was just going through all of the moments, right? And so, you know, I think I got to talk to her only one time through that, and it's like she didn't want to hear it. Like, okay, yeah, I know. Like, she really had this feeling of like, I don't know how God can do anything when he put me in this position to begin with, right? And I was like, oh no, but that's not, you know what I mean? Like, that's not what it is. Well, cut to several years later, we have this church, right? And there are some people wanting to do what was it called? Yeah, it was like a mom's thing here, right? And she reached out to me and was like, hey, we're looking for somewhere to have this thing, right? And she goes, do you guys rent out any rooms? Do you guys have anything? And I told her, I was like, well, I'll talk to my dad about it. I talked to him about it, told her, like, hey, get a hold of him. You can meet with him and stuff like that. And they started doing it here. Well, I really got to start talking to her, and she got saved. And not only did she get saved, but she was the worship leader for the church. And she was totally on fire, right? And I told Oscar, I told him, these are the things that to me, I love to see. Because it's so amazing to me to see somebody come from something, one thing, to something completely different. Because to know like that troublemaker going through the hard parts of life aspect of her for so many years to the woman who 100% is diving in, reliant on God, and doesn't care about what anybody else has to say about it, only focusing on God, to see her obtain a ministry in playing the guitar and leading a band and singing and enjoying, to her husband becoming the associate pastor, to all of these things, to seeing her build her family and God just continue to bless and bless and open doors. It's just an amazing thing to see, because it's really who God is in our life. See, he's meant to transform. He's meant to shake up some things in your life and give you some new things. That's what we're meant to do. We're meant to go from looking like, I don't know, whatever we're doing when we're not following him, right? Because there's so many different ways and so many different things, to being a complete reflection of the one who made us. See, it's a transformation that I know without a doubt, the whole time that I was putting this together, that the biggest thing that he's wanting to tell us is that it is time for us to look different. It is time for us not to come sit in a seat, not to just be making it through in lukewarm water, but to be pressing in, totally on fire, hungry, and ready for that transformation, so that we can be a reflection of who he is. See, so often, even in worship, right? Because I feel like I see it a lot in worship songs, but there's this feeling of like, heaven's up here and I'm really reaching for it and I'm reaching for it and I'm reaching for it, but I need you to come down, right? And that's the thing. See, God paid a price, and then he gave us the Holy Spirit so that it dwelled within. Not so that you ever had to be reaching for this unattainable thing that's somewhere out there. No, it's completely obtainable. It's within our reach. It's right there within us. It's a matter of turning and allowing him to do the work in us. Allowing ourselves to go after it and let him transform us into what he's transforming us into. See, my friend that I was telling you about, never once heard her sing. Never once did she play an instrument. But when she got saved, because that's what she tells me all the time. With the help of God, I learned how to play a guitar. And then I led a worship team, right? It was, to her, it was crazy. But see, that's what God does. He pulls things out of us that we don't even realize are there. He shows us things and gives us things that by ourselves, we probably wouldn't have thought of. We probably wouldn't have thought that's what we were going to do or what we have or a gift. excuse me, that we have, but he allows, well, as we go after him, he pulls them out. It's more than we could ask or think, right? Because he knows more about what he's placed inside than we know. And we can continue to constantly say, no, that's not me. No, I can't do that. No, like, why would anybody ever look at me that way with what I did in my life? Why would anybody? Yeah, you want to know why? Because it's not you. It's what he's doing in you. And it's where you came from that taught you and made you more powerful, because yeah, you went through it and you saw, but he washed it. He made you new and he's giving you new things. See, don't count yourself out just because you think that you're down and out, because you're not. That's actually just a great moment for God to say, all right, let me show you what I got, right? Let me show you all the things I have for you. Let me show you the things that I can do. Let me show you what I can place in your life, right? Let's go to Proverbs 2:1-11 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yeah, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. See, this is talking about when we're going and pressing in, right? I want it. I like how it talks about how when you search for it as a treasure, as silver and gold, right? See, we gotta start wanting what God has more than anything else. We gotta start seeing that it's a treasure greater than anything else that we could go after in our life. See, if we learn to go after that treasure over money, earthly things, and whatever else you wanna try to fill your life with that's gonna come up empty, you're gonna begin to see that that treasure is the only thing you need. That if I search for it, if I go after it, then it even says, can you go back to that spot, Liz? Go back like 2, I think. One more. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searcheth for her as for hid treasure, right? Like, okay, listen, the way revelation works in our life, a lot of times those, you know how he talks about unlocking the mystery, right? A lot of times those treasures are hidden, right? They're hidden. So I like how this relates to that. That's the thing. This is the really cool thing about the Bible, right? That as the Holy Spirit begins to work and show you things, you're going to begin to see it all connect, right? All come together, all speaking about the same thing. And that's the thing. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, because a lot of times it's hidden, right? Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge. See, he's telling us, go after it. Dig it up, search for it. I don't care if it's hidden, I want it, so I'm going after it. And it tells us that he's gonna begin to give it to us. See, it is those unlocking of the mysteries. It begins to be revealed to us all the things that he's wanting to give us, right? See, this is where true transformation happens in our life. All of the times that we say, I'll stop doing that next week. I'll get better at that tomorrow. Man, I'm really trying, but I just can't. I can't give it up, right? See, that's the thing. Stop focusing on what you have to do and start focusing on the one who changes it all. The one who can literally take it away. The one who can turn everything around. The one who can literally even change the way you think or feel about something. See, excuse me, that's the thing. We gotta start searching for knowledge and wisdom from God like it's going out of style, like it's running out, right? Because we know that it's there, but there's gotta be a sense of urgency. Urgency to be doing what it is that he wants to do. To be walking in what it is that he wants us to be walking in. See, we gotta start feeling that. That need, that want to search and find what's hidden, right? It says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. See, he's gonna speak it to you. He's gonna give it to you. He's gonna work it with you, right? It's the same thing that Elijah was doing. He was waiting for God to speak it, for him to tell him what to do, for him to tell him where to go, how to move, like all of it, right? And I was telling them this morning that what I love about this part is that it comes so much easier for us now. See, Elijah was doing all of that in a time that was much harder, right? Because let's just think about the Old Testament, right? Usually is like the tabernacle and priests and different things like that, but then God also had anointing on people, right? But see, after he died, he gave us such a gift in that the Holy Spirit communes in us and with us all of the time, right? So that search for knowledge, see, Elijah was going after it, right? He was praying, he was working, he was waiting, he was listening for God. He got to know his voice, he got to know who he was. See, it's the same thing, except for the difference is that he's already there within us and we're choosing to ignore sometimes on a regular basis. Oh, I don't got time. Oh, I let my day get away with me and I never did my reading. Oh, I never spent time just allowing God to move. But I made it. You know, I really felt God working with me on this because I was giving time. But I knew he was asking for more time. Spend more all the time, right? Don't let it just be in the morning, but all throughout your day, right? And I remember for a long time because we got young, like, I mean, not young kids, but kids that are in the age of like sports and all this stuff, right? Not to mention the fact that my husband has chosen, well, his ministry is working with kids. So he's literally every opportunity that God's opened, he's like, I'll do it, right? So his schedule works kind of similar to our kids' schedule. So he's always having to be at practices. He's always having to be at this stuff, right? So it's always this like, okay, we got to figure out how to get this kid here, this kid there, and then you could maybe go here after, and I'll wait for this kid and maybe pick that one up. And then even sometimes when it gets really complicated, we're like, hey, mom, can you or dad like pick up a kid because we're going to be in all these places, right? It's madness. And I remember at one point being like, God, I get it, but I'm like, I'm also like in the middle of the day, I'm like driving 5 billion places and doing all this stuff, right? And I really felt him start to give me, oh, see, that's the thing. We can always say, but we have that going on and we got this going on and we got whatever, right? But see, that time with God is pertinent. It's important. And see, when we start realizing, I gotta rearrange this priority to make sure that he's always at the top, regardless. See, it didn't matter if we were driving in the car. I was like, I'm putting worship music on and I'm worshiping. When I'd be waiting for Lonnie to get out of cheer, because it's like a 2 hour span usually, I'd be reading. Like, see, that's the thing, is I started to find that we use that excuse often, but there's opportunities all the time. It's about how important it is to you. See, that's what I'm talking about today. The sense of urgency to search for the hidden treasure. To pull it out because we want it and it's important to us, right? See, that is exactly what we're needing, because it tells us that God giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment. See, this is the thing. It can be really easy to wag a finger at somebody all the time, right? But as we go after God, he begins to give us an understanding of righteousness and judgment. See, he begins to show us the best ways to minister to the people around us. Because now he's placing things within us, he's given us wisdom, he's transforming who we are, not just on the inside, but on what's pouring out, right? It becomes an overflowing in our life. I guarantee you that as you change and you allow God to change you, people are gonna see. She doesn't do things the same way she did them before. She moves a little different. She talks different. There's a different way about, Lily, I can really feel it for you. There's a different way about the way she runs her business compared to other people. There's a different way about the way she upholds herself. See, that's the thing. We can begin to see that all of these things, not because we're like, I'm gonna be mightier than thou, right? But because we allow God to actually humble us and show us who he is, what he has for us, right? It's actually not a mightier than thou thing. It's actually a humbling process that teaches us that without him, we are nothing, right? That literally unlocking the design that he created us, the design he made, is by diving into the word and allowing that to transform, right? Okay, let's go to Ephesians 1:3. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's not the one I was looking for. I think, go to Isaiah 55. This is it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Okay, go. Can you go back? See, I'm just going to quickly touch on this part, because I have to get into the next part, but it's, this is exactly what we were just talking about, right? See, unlocking the design is by allowing him to begin the one who directs our thoughts, directs our ways, directs everything, right? Because just like he says in here, his ways are higher. So where we think we've hit a peak, he says, no, you didn't. I've got more. Here it is. Are you ready for it? Right? See, he's just wanting us to go after it. It's that searching, right? For the hidden treasure. We just got to go after it. As we go after it, he gives us all the things that we need and begins to build us up, right? So now what we thought may have been our goal like 5 years ago is long blown and past, right? Because he's given us something even greater. What we thought we were meant to do before, maybe he's molding it and changing it, right? But that's the thing, is it's so important for us to understand that it's his thoughts and his ways that have to be in charge, not ours. Not what we feel or what we think, but what he's telling us is important, right? Okay, let's go to Ephesians 5:11. Okay, sorry, I gave you, it's actually 13. It's 5:13. But basically it's talking about like, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, right? Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And then it talks about like not having to do with unfruitful things, right? Which is what it's getting into right here, but all things that are reproved are made manifest. Okay, but then here, this is the scripture. I didn't realize she changed it. But 5:11, it says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light, right? So God gave me this scripture, and it's kind of like one of those things where I was like, yeah, I don't quite understand what you're telling me, right? So I was like, you know, I'm gonna look up some things, right? So if you read it, in NIV, it says, but everything exposed to the light by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light, right? Well, reproved, right? I was looking, I'm just gonna go ahead and give you the actual, like what I read, because I think that'll be great for you guys too. Reprove, it says reprimand, but I know that it wasn't meant in like a type of way, right? But, and it says reprimand or censor someone, right? But that's the thing is, see, I really liked that he was talking about in this part, he's talking about the fruits that we're bearing, right? But then he also talks about, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. This scripture really stood out to me, but in, I'm going to be honest, in King James, I was a little confused by the wording, right? Like, because I was kind of like, okay, like, I think I get what you're saying, but I'm kind of confused, right? And the part that confused me was the end. Because at the end, it talks about, like, it changed up there, so I can't remember exactly how it says it. But I loved that, oh, it says, doth make manifest is light, right? So then I was kind of like, are you saying what I think you're saying? Are you saying that when you light something, it becomes light, right? And as I was like diving in, it's one of those things that's really fun, like when you kind of get it, right? But that's the thing, as I was diving in about it, talking about reproving and the light, I began to realize that it's exactly like what we've been talking about, right? See, God does things in our life. And as we allow Him to do all of it, who's the light? He is, right? So when He, and there's other scriptures in the Bible that talk about the light and the darkness, right? But I really liked how this talked about how, see, when it's made manifest by the light, okay? So look at it. You got something that's maybe in the dark, right? There's no understanding. We're looking at this also in like a sense of understanding too. There's no understanding. This is where a lot of people can be in the beginning of their relationship with God, right? Like, I have these things, like, I don't know if they're right, they're wrong. I'm not really sure, right? But see, God comes in, you get saved, and these things begin to be made manifest by the light, right? And as the light shows you things, right? Because it illuminates it in your life, and it brings it up, and it begins to show you things, right? Almost like a spotlight hitting something, okay? As it begins to show you these things in your life, you begin to really like, oh gosh, I didn't realize that before, right? Oh God, like you showed me something I didn't know before. And as He continues to light these things in you, right? I love it. As He begins to light all of these things in you and show you things and show you, this is who I am, therefore this is who you are. It says, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light, right? Okay, so let's look at the NIV, right? Was, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light, right? See, it's the working in our life. The reproving exposes, right? And lights things up. And as we allow God to expose and light things up, suddenly we just become lit in general, right? Because now we're allowing God to expose every part, every single thing. And now, whoo, see, now as you allow the light to expose and you become light, what are you in the world? The light, right? See, the scriptures come together because we're not meant to just be. Well, that's it. We're not meant to just be, right? We're meant, we're designed, we're created to be just like our Father. We're meant to look like Him in every single way. We're meant to be a reflection of who He is, right? Okay, so here we go. This is where we get fun, okay? All right. If you know anything about light, how do you see? This is cool, okay, ready? You actually see by light entering the eye, bouncing off, right? And it's actually called, I think it said it was called diffused reflection, which is that when the light hits your eye in a certain way, it bounces off. The light actually hits an object. So, say I have my phone here. Hits an object and you can see its shape, right? Therefore, your brain knows that's a phone. My brain knows that's a cup. It knows that's a bag, right? Because I'm taking it in, I'm seeing it, right? And it's talking to my brain, right? Okay. I really enjoyed this. I wish I could have had like even more because I think it would have been really cool. But, okay, knowing that that's how we see, okay? Like, and that's just a very, very, very basic, right? Very basic definition of some of that or explanation of some of that. I have something I wanna show you. I couldn't do it. I wanted to do it in person because it would have been really cool. Hold on, can you pause it for 1 second, Liz? But the hard part is that just like what we're talking about right now, the reflecting off of something, because you guys are sitting lower than me, you wouldn't have seen the change, right? You would have needed to be above it. So I'm going to show you in a video instead, because we used to do this in science class, and I remember always thinking it was really cool. But to be honest, like, even then, I think I just totally didn't listen maybe to what the teacher said, or it didn't like really stick, because I didn't really like take it in like I did now, obviously, right? But watch this. So this is gonna be, it's just a little sandwich bag, right? You can literally, if you wanna try this at home, you can color it in any way you want. It doesn't have to be a rainbow. You can color a heart, an egg, whatever you want to, just color it, right? And then you stick it in the bag and you outline it with black, okay? Now, excuse me. When you dip it in water, okay, it does this. Can everybody see it? Go ahead, Liz. Can you? So just watch it. This part isn't really as important as the rest of what I want you to see. If you watch when it dips, you'll see it lose its color. You see how it loses its color? Okay. Oh my gosh, I really loved this because it's just really cool to see how God works in things, right? So the reason that this loses color when it dips underneath water is because the light begins to reflect differently, making you lose sight of the color, okay? So the bag protecting it has air in it, right? So when it goes underneath the water, the light reflects differently because of the air, which then, like, it takes away the color for a second, right? Now, it's just because of the angle that the light is hitting. So that's why I was trying to explain to you that if you dip it and you're standing and you're looking from underneath, you're probably still going to see the color, right? Okay, but I really liked this because the scripture that we just read talked about how light makes manifest things, right? But then as things happen in our life, it says, as things happen in our life, right, though, we become light, right? So I really like this because sometimes when we're not going after God for things, when we're not looking at things, we think that God's not doing anything, right? We don't see how it's working. We don't see how he's working it together for good, right? Because I know at one point I had a friend who told me, stop saying that because it's so annoying, because it doesn't feel like it's working together for good, right? And that's the thing is, see, we can sometimes think that whatnot, right? It looks bleak, right? You can't really see how it's going, what's happening, right? But what I love is just like this demonstration shows, when we begin to look at something from a different angle, right? Which is God, the light, right? When the light begins to hit properly, we see that what looked black and white is actually colored, right? Are you guys getting what I'm saying? Because I just love it. Allow God to change the perspective. Allow him to shine some light on it, quite literally, right? And you will begin to see that even though what you thought was bleak, no way out, no way to work it, not even a clue how it was going to happen, that he had a plan the whole time in him. See, when the light hit it, it became something so much more, right? Even in this picture, that rainbow is colored. See, that's the way God sees it, right? But sometimes take out the light factor, and sometimes it may seem like, okay, yeah, it's just a rainbow that has no color. What kind of rainbow is that, right? See, but that's the thing, is God changes everything. When that light manifests things in your life, see, but I really want you to grasp, he can manifest things for you, but it's you who's gonna choose to walk in it. See, he can keep showing you something over and over. I kind of feel like the last couple times I've done a sermon, I'm going to be honest with you, I was like, God, they're going to think that you're not teaching me anything new. Like, literally, sometimes that's how I feel. Because I'm like, I feel like you're telling me the same exact thing, but in a different way. I feel like you're wanting me to give them something I already gave them, just slightly different, right? But see, even in my own life, I have learned, yeah, but when you're not grasping it, maybe you need to hear it again, right? When you're not understanding what it is that God's wanting to do, he's gonna repeat it. He's gonna say it again. See, he's even in my life, he's getting down to the nitty gritty. Like, I've begun to notice that he's literally stripping away a bunch of this other stuff because he's like, you're gonna learn that my way is the only way. You don't gotta work your way in it at all. Stop sticking your hands in the middle of what I'm trying to do, but allow me to do it, right? See, God wants the kingdom here. He's waiting for the bride to rise up, right? But rising up means that we gotta change. We can't just be plain church. We can't just come sit in seats. We can't just say we know God, but be sitting stagnant in a pool. We have got to allow God to constantly be speaking to us, showing us the way in every aspect, not just making manifest one thing in our life, but illuminating it all, right? That way, it's lit up. We're shining bright. See, that's the thing. That's what I really liked about all of this, is that if you saw the progression of it, you went from, okay, we got to change some things, we got to get it, right? To God's going to manifest some things, to we become exactly who he called us to be in being a light that's shining bright. See, he is the light. He is truth, right? And if you really dive more into some of this, you'll begin to see. See, I had to put it in a sermon that I'm already running out of time, and I felt like we ended worship semi-early to get into this message. So the truth is there is a lot there, right? But if you read, the Bible talks about how he's the light and he's truth, right? And that's the thing. He is wanting to illuminate and do something in our life that allows us to shine so bright that it is undeniable about who he is in our life, what he's doing, and what he has for us, right? Let's go to John 8:12. And it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, right? I just really wanted to put the scripture in there because I feel like it is one of those scriptures that we hear often, right? But it's just so important, right? He is the light. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. See, that's the thing. You can feel, just like the song we were singing, you can feel like your life is surrounded by darkness, right? All the things happening in the world, maybe even the things happening around you at work, school, whatever it might be. But no matter what, he tells us, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, he is the light. And he will build you up so much, he'll make you shine so bright. That's the thing. You will walk into darkness and you will light it up because that's who he is. He comes into darkness and lights it up, right? And it's the same thing. When you walk into an area, you will light it up. See, this is who God's created us to be. He has literally created us to be the light of the world, right? Because we have him in us. We are a reflection of who he is, right? Okay, so let's go to Romans 8:6. This is another scripture that I feel like most of you guys probably know. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, we just got through a scripture that talks about how the light of life, right? And now it's telling us, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, right? See, when we begin to listen to the Holy Spirit, going back to towards the beginning of my sermon, we talked about having spirit, soul, and body, right? Not just the flesh running everything. See, as we allow the Spirit to move and work, this is where we find peace in the moments. This is where Elijah was, right? Okay, target on my back. It's all right. I got peace. Okay, I'm living next to a creek. No idea how I'm going to eat, but I got peace, right? Okay, I came to the lady you told me to come to who is barely making it herself, but I got peace. See, we are coming to a time where, let's be honest, it's probably going to get a little rougher than easier in the sense of like darkness, right? But that's okay because you're the light, see, because of who he is. And that's why he's telling us the importance of shining that light is it's becoming urgent, right? He's calling his church. He's saying, I'm going to give it to you. I am going to bless you in your businesses. I am going to bless you in your walk. I'm going to bless you in life because you are the light that I am needing to shine in a world that needs it, right? See, that coming up of the bridegroom is through us learning to become who we are. It's through us not just saying that we believe in healing, but walking in healing. It's not through us just saying that we believe that chains are broken, but knowing that those chains are actually broken and walking in it. It's not through us just saying that, God, your yoke is easy and your burden is light, but I feel like I am just drowning. No, it's knowing that as long as we're going after him, we're walking in it. You are going to have peace. See, he is telling us things and speaking to us about things, but then he's saying, you got to take it and you got to run with it. You got to step in and stop just being a spectator who's watching but never does. Who might hear but never takes. Who gets direction but refuses to walk in it. See, that's the thing. It's becoming, I'm closing, I promise. But there was this friend who used to tell me, my kid does not understand anything unless I put it in the most blunt and straightforward way possible. And she goes, so yes, I told him several times, you cannot cross the street without looking both ways. And she goes, it didn't work. So she goes, so I told him, you cannot cross the street without looking both ways or you're gonna die. And she said that he was like, oh, what? Okay. See, I could really feel it right now that God's coming to a point where he's saying, I'm not sugarcoating it anymore. I'm putting it out there and I'm telling you what you need to do. And I'm asking you to walk in it. I'm telling you that you need it. I'm telling you that it's important. I'm telling you that there is a sense of urgency that you stop just looking and paying attention, but that you actually start doing. You let it become a normal walk, a normal thing in your life so that you look differently from the person next to you. So that you handle yourself differently than your coworkers. So that you handle yourself differently than other business owners. So that you do things differently than your best friend. See, you allowing God to change your life makes you more effective than you could ever be just plain Jane by yourself. Right? See, he is wanting you to reflect the image of him. But what I loved in this is I kind of was like, okay, I think I've done one that way. And he goes, no, I want them to be a reflection of the light. Literally, the thing that makes you see. And it just became so much more powerful. Because, yeah, we constantly talk about being the image of God, right? But what we need to understand is that image comes from knowing who he is. It's by allowing a light to be manifested in our life that allows things to be illuminated in a way we've never seen them before, and then walking in it. Right? So, walk in the light. Allow him to illuminate things in your life, bring things forward. I really like in Revelation, this is the last. At the end of in Revelation 22, it's the end of Revelation. I just really liked this scripture. But it talks about, because I knew that I've read in there before, light. And it says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, right? And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever, right? See, what I really like about this is that, yes, it's in Revelation. Yes, it's talking about, like, basically the end of everything, right? But it's still a picture of who we are, because basically at this point, he's telling us, this is the end, right? You've been separated. I've brought you home, right? It talks about how there's no curse anymore. And who we are is that there's not even a need for sun or a candle or anything, because we are so bright that it shines, right? See, and at that point, at the end of everything, you're walking in what God gave you, right? You're 100% unlocked, designed, ready to go. Right? See, so I loved it because it's like he was showing a picture. As you let me work, you just begin to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. See, he is wanting to illuminate some things, right? He's not only wanting to illuminate some things in you, but he's wanting you to become the reflection of who he is, the light that he is. See, and just like in you, how when that light hits a certain way and you see all the things that he has for you, it's the same exact thing in the people around you. As they begin to see, wow, I don't know what's going on there, but all I know is that I want it, right? Because there is an attraction that happens. Because then people begin to see something so different. They're like, I don't know what you're doing, but it's, I want it. I want it in my life. See, that is a shining that happens, right? So then your light, that light, begins to not just illuminate the things that you needed, but in the end, it begins to illuminate things for the people around you too, right? It begins to show some things. And I just love this scripture in Revelations, because then it's basically saying, and when as a church, as a body, when we all begin to shine bright by who he is and that light is illuminated, it's so powerful that we don't even need a sun. You grow up learning about how bright the sun is. You can't even look at it because it'll make you blind. Like all of those things, right? And that's how powerful you are when you're allowing him to shine bright throughout you, right? And as the body comes together, that's how powerful you are. That it says that in the end, there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's what you're meant to be. We were supposed to do communion before, but I really want John to come do communion now, because I think it's, as I was up here and we were doing worship, I could really feel, I don't know where anybody is or what's going on, but know that God came and died and covered everything, right? He gave healing. He covered your sins and gave you the ability to commune with him on a regular basis. And see, and this is the gift of what we're talking about today. The ability to allow him to transform you comes through that communion that he gave us, right? So I just want Pastor John to come up, and as we take communion, I just really want you to give it all up, right? If you got something you're holding on to, I know we talked about forgiveness for a little bit because I don't know where that came from, but he brought it out, right? So we talked about some of those things. Just let him take hold of all of it today, okay? Here's Pastor John.
Well, as you all know, first Sunday of the month, we all partake in communion, corporate communion. So today is that day. So as the servants start handing out the elements, just hold on to them until we're all together. And while they're doing that, I'd like to read out of John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And so whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict." And this is a little bit of what Rebecca was talking about in her sermon. It says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." So as we let our light shine, and soon whatever was within us that does not belong there, just as Rebecca was talking about, his light will shine through us. And so it is for us, it is for us to allow that light of Jesus to shine through us. And like Rebecca says, wherever we walk into, we're going to change that atmosphere. We're going to take that darkness that surrounds us and turn it into light. But we have to take ourselves out of it and let Jesus be the foresight for everyone. So please stand with me right now. Hopefully everybody's twisted your little cups apart. And when we're done, just pass them on to the sides and someone will pick them up for you. But Paul tells us in Corinthians that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that after giving thanks, he took bread and he broke it. And then he told his disciples that this is my body. And we always look at that as a body that was broken, a body that was abused, a body that was mocked, whatever, you know, all those terrible things that he went through. But as we take this body, not only as that we could be whole because he made us that way, but to just remember him. He says, do this in remembrance. So please take the bread. And in the same way, he took the cup. He said that this cup was his blood, the blood that he shed on that cross. And that blood that covered our sins, past, present, future. We have been forgiven because of the work that he did on that cross. So please take the cup. And just take a moment in silence. And thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that we do remember you, Lord. We acknowledge all you did on that cross, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can go forth and not let darkness be a part of who we are because you live within us. You shine through us. Lord, we are righteous because you are righteous. And we can boldly come before the throne of the Father because of what you did on that cross. Amen. Amen. Get you some ice cream.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.